MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Friday, March 8, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore, and stuff we're looking at today, there were two house fires on the North Shore yesterday. Swampscott Town Administrator speaks out on personnel accusations, and we have his comments. And this is the weekend to set your clocks ahead.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we'll have our high school tournament update. Rick?
Alrighty, Bill, thank you. Sunny, windy, low 40s. High tide, Gloucester Harbor, 9:06 a.m. and 9:44 p.m. Linfield firefighters were called to a fire last night at about 8:30 at a home located at 5 Stafford Road. The Daily Item is reporting today that the three-alarm fire drew support from several area fire departments to battle it at a two-and-a-half-story home. The Item is also reporting that Saugus firefighters knocked down a house fire quickly yesterday morning at 66 Holland Street. That fire was contained to just one room. The state's Joint Committee on Ways and Means will host a hearing today at Gloucester City Hall, starting at 10:30 this morning. The Gloucester Times reports that the meeting is open to the public, but testimony is by invitation only. John Dunn, Gloucester's chief financial officer for the past decade, died on Monday at the age of 71. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that Dunn served with three Gloucester mayors and had also served as Beverly's finance director for 18 years. A funeral service will be held for Dunn on Wednesday at the Campbell Funeral Home in Beverly. At this week's Swampscott Select Board meeting, the complaints filed against Swampscott Town Administrator Sean Fitzgerald were discussed. Benjamin Pierce reports in today's Daily Item that the board did investigations, and board members are now defending Fitzgerald over the allegations. This is Swampscott Town Administrator Sean Fitzgerald speaking at the meeting.
You know, when I started in this town, it was quite evident to me that we had a great deal of patronage and frankly, nepotism. We didn't have the standards for professionalism that, frankly, I felt this town deserved. We had finances that were, frankly, out of whack. The town had struggled with so many initiatives. We had ignored, incredible infrastructure for generations. Our schools were falling apart. I had to make some dramatic changes to town operations. I had to reorganize departments. I had to make staffing changes. And so folks have seen fit to look at some of those changes and criticize me for some of those professional responsibilities that have helped us strengthen our town's standing.
Fitzgerald goes on to discuss the nature of the complaints filed against him.
There was a great deal of pressure put on me to hire individuals that I did not want to hire. There were newspaper articles. You can Google it. You can see that I actually rejected a number of candidates that were presented to me. These are individuals that, frankly, I just did not feel comfortable moving forward at the time. I moved forward with one person, but it became such a frustration for individuals in the police union. They threatened to a reverse discrimination suit. They threatened to do things that were absolutely absurd to try to force me to accept recommendations that I just didn't want to accept.
The Fitzgerald remarks at the Swampscott Select Board meeting were detailed and passionate, and today on North Shore Today Extra, we'll feature those entire remarks after the sportscast. And school budgets around the North Shore are being reviewed for the upcoming fiscal year. The Daily News in Newburyport is reporting today that the proposed Triton Regional School District budget will see an increase in money spent, but services will be decreased. There is a slight decline in student enrollment in the district, and it's expected that the proposed budget will result in some staffing reductions, including teacher layoffs. And this is the weekend to set your clocks ahead for daylight savings time. That means we'll lose an hour from our weekend. Oh well. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore, albeit a little hoarse today. The Celtics lost last night in Denver, 115-109. The Celts road trip will continue tomorrow night in Phoenix. The Bruins beat the Maple Leafs 4-1 last night at the Garden. The Bees will play host to the Penguins tomorrow afternoon at 3. High school tournament action from last night. St. John's Prep Hockey, 3-0 winners over Hingham. They're on to the D1 Final Four. Masconomet lost in D2 to Duxbury 3-1. Their season ends. And in girls hockey, St. Mary's in D1 beat Shrewsbury 2-1, and they are on to the Final Four. Boys basketball tonight, Lynn Tech playing at Wareham, number one seeded team. Girls basketball, Newburyport girls are at Medway tonight at 6. The Clippers with 3 tournament wins, knocking out 2 higher seeded teams. Newburyport coach Karen Grutchfield, her team has been playing their best basketball of the year right now. She's very pleased with that, but she always thought her team could be playing this way all season long.
You know, honestly, I think the key, Bill, is I fully expected us to play like this throughout the year, and it didn't happen, and I was frustrated for a lot of our regular season, and I think the kids were frustrated, but some, and I don't know if it was the last week of the season, but I have to credit our senior leaders, but something shifted. And they are playing calm, cool, collected. They have nothing to lose. They're fearless. Like last night at Watertown, they must have had 500 kids in the stands for Watertown chanting. And it could have gotten a little bit ugly. You know how high school kids can be. And our kids were just so calm. And I was so proud of them because that can be disconcerting. And so there's something that shifted in them. And they're playing the way that I thought that they would play. And this is the way they're capable of playing, and I think they're embracing it, and they're sort of playing with this reckless abandon and this calmness that's really exciting to watch and to be a part of. And, I mean, like I said, when we were down 12 or 11, I thought, oh, man, this could get ugly. And they just, like, 2 points by 2 points and defensive stop by defensive stop, they came back in it, and they shifted that momentum, and it was so fun to watch them do that. And we talk about mental toughness all year long, and I've been frustrated by that. And the kids are doing it. They're doing it right now, and it's just, that's what you wish. You know, as a coach of young women, I want them to be strong. I want them to be independent. I want them to be competitive. I want them to be resilient. And the last 3 games, I'm seeing all of that, and it's just, it's like a parent, right? It's like what you want to see in your kids and what you want to see in the kids that you coach. And I just feel very inspired by them because they're, and it's collectively, I think they've all decided this is what they want to do. And they seem pretty confident as we keep kind of charging along. So I'm just hoping we can keep it rolling.
Also in D3, the Pawtucket girls basketball team is at Foxborough tonight, the number one seeded team. Coach John McNamara of Pawtucket believes that it's the little things that make the big things happen.
Ava DeBarro, who is a senior guard, comes up with 10 rebounds, has a double-double against Dover Sherbourne. Gabby Balakwa against all those bigs has 9 rebounds. Like the rebounding and the deflections, those little things that, you know, maybe people take for granted, those are what get you to move on to the next round. And usually when you want to go deep and have a good run, it's every game you have a few of those moments where those plays, you know, keep you afloat or stop a run from the other team, or, you know, just getting a loose ball, diving for a loose ball and getting it to a teammate. Those are the plays that people kind of tend to forget about because you always remember the baskets and the passes and stuff, but you need those plays to really advance in the tournament, especially when you're playing teams like Dover, Sherbrooke, and now Foxborough. You know, we're going to need a lot of those plays against Foxborough.
We have posts up on our website with all the preview action for this coming weekend. And, of course, we'll be following the scores throughout the weekend as well. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore. Again, albeit a bit hoarse today, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Friday and a great weekend. And don't forget, North Shore Today Extra is next year on MSONewsSports.com.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra, and today we're featuring the extended comments from Swampscott Town Administrator Sean Fitzgerald that he made this week at the Board of Selectmen meeting, in which they discussed some personnel allegations against the town administrator. Now, we'll also have a link up on this post to a story done that is posted today in the Daily Item by Benjamin Pierce that gives more background on this story. But in depth now, here are the entire remarks that Sean Fitzgerald made at the meeting, at the select board meeting. They're informative, they're passionate, and we thought that you deserve the right to hear them all here on North Shore Today Extra.
Really difficult to sit here and hear people cast aspersions. You know, over the last 2 weeks, I've thought a little bit about, you know, the issues that I've had to deal with as a town administrator. Look, we live in such a difficult time. It seems easy for people to show up and just cast aspersions. I've had a number of individuals file complaints, you know, that haven't really had any findings of shortcomings. But it's easy for folks to do that because this is a political tactic. It's not an administrative effort to try to help strengthen this town government. What it is retaliation for things that I believe that I've had to do that, frankly, we don't typically talk publicly about. We've kept those things very quiet. But I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, when I started in this town, it was quite evident to me that we had a great deal of patronage and frankly, nepotism. We didn't have the standards for professionalism that, frankly, I felt this town deserved. We had finances that were, frankly, out of whack. The town had struggled with so many initiatives. We had ignored, you know, incredible infrastructure for generations. Our schools were falling apart. I had to make some dramatic changes to town operations. I had to reorganize departments. I had to make staffing changes. And so folks have seen fit to look at some of those changes and criticize me for some of those professional responsibilities that have helped us strengthen our town standing. We've gone from a AA- bond rating from Standard & Poor's and Moody's to a AA, to a AA+, to a AAA over the last 6 years. That's an absolute night and day change, but it has been the result of making sure that we have some of the most extraordinary and talented individuals working for this town. And these changes sometimes have represented conflict. It's important for folks to understand that public service is not easy. I don't have a problem at all with somebody showing up and criticizing us. We're not perfect. We don't make every decision perfect, but we've worked very hard to try to raise the standards for professionalism. It's pretty ironic to me to hear complaints, too, that somehow we're not doing enough to actually support training. As soon as I got here, we did training. We brought training to every department on sexual harassment, on making sure that we treat each other more equitably, more fairly. We've started community programs. We've started pride celebrations. We've started Black History Month programs. I initiated efforts to take Swampscott's police and fire department out of civil service. That was opposed. We had one of our police officers at a public meeting said that she surveyed 26 out of the 31 police officers, and all 26 were opposed to leaving civil service. I sat in front of every police officer and firefighter and said, we need to change, because it had been 17 years since we hired a woman for either one of the departments. And we hadn't hired a black or a brown person, in 30 years. We went through a very difficult time. We negotiated contracts, and to the police and fire union's credit, they agreed to transition out of civil service, but it was very difficult. I've sat in bargaining room sessions where I've had union employees call me the enemy, call my colleagues the enemy. This is visceral. I want people to understand these changes have been incredibly difficult. But what has it helped us to do? It's helped us hire the most diverse number of individuals in the town's history. But the price I'm paying right now is that I have individuals casting aspersions unfairly. I have people mobilized because they think they're going to show up and try to say, what, the town's off kilter because we're building a $100 million elementary school. We've finally found a way to balance the budget and to start looking at investments in infrastructure, buying oceanfront parcels, and giving this town the support it long since needed. And so we have a handful of people that seem to tell us at one point to be kinder, to be nicer, to speak more politely to each other, but yet they use some of the worst language to describe their elected officials or public servants. To me, I can't be the only one that sees that, right? I can't be the only one that sees these interests that are seeking to undermine everything that we've sought out to try to accomplish to build a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive community. Frankly, when I read the article in the paper, I thought to myself, I can't surprise. I was surprised that somebody released it, because typically, that information stays confidential, and we work through a process that protects employees and protects individuals from, aspersions that might be cast. But that went out without any side of the town's position. And for me, there's so much to that that is important for people to understand, because it's been weaponized, and it's just unfair. If any of my employees were attacked like that, I would have an affirmative responsibility to step in between that and protect them from that type of misinformation. In fact, I had an employee this past year that was unfairly treated at an academy, and I had to intervene. I had to show up at the academy director's office to ensure that he had protections for procedural justice. That term actually should ring a bell, because I actually had to hold our police department accountable a few years ago for that very same reason, because we had lapses in procedural justice. We had a six-month investigation. We had number of individuals identified in a report that's on our website that said we had work to do. I don't expect any of my colleagues in public life to be perfect, but I do have a problem when they start to retaliate and they start to vilify their colleagues because of our responsibilities to do our job. We all have difficult jobs to do. My job is to hold town employees accountable. It's also to protect them. It's also to ensure that we have standards of professionalism and excellence. That report provided a detailed review of incredible lapses. And frankly, it's ironic to me to see some of these complaints, because they do smack to me of retaliation. And when I look at the number of issues that I've had to deal with in the police department, one of the first things that happened to me was I had to go to a house, and I had two police cruisers show up and tactically shut down the street when I was literally visiting a house to talk to a neighbor about our rail trail. And for me, this was the beginning of the type of intimidation and the type of incredible pressure that local officials have to face when they come into a town and they start to bring change. I've sat at bargaining room tables where I've had to negotiate the end of guaranteed overtime or minimum manning for police officers and firefighters. That saved the town over $120,000 a year. But that, frankly, was a very difficult thing to bargain. I had union members threaten to flip the table over with me. These are the challenges that I've had to face. They're serious, and they're complicated, and they're in play. And they're part of this effort to try to convince people, to gaslight me, and to say that all of these efforts have been, not part of who I am in terms of trying to build a more inclusive, trying to build a more respectful and civil town. It's unfortunate. I know that everybody can kind of think, oh, geez, you know, I've read the paper, that must be true. I'm just telling you, it's not. You've got one side of it, and it just is not fair.
Is this your response also?
Not yet.
I thought you already did public comment.
Well,
for this. You did do public comment for this matter. So are we having more public comment, or are we done with public
comment? We're talking amongst ourselves with the town administrator.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great.
Look, I'm just going to conclude. I have a lot. Yep, there is. And frankly,
Sean, stay on your watch.
I will tell you,
Sean,
we're all innocent.
Stay on your remarks, please.
Gotcha. We're all innocent until the facts prove us things otherwise. And as David had mentioned earlier, we spent months looking into this in great detail. Individuals were interviewed and statements were taken. I took detailed notes of every one of the interviews. And for me, I feel bedrock confident that what I have done has been to protect and to support standards of professionalism for this town. I also want to share that, there was a great deal of pressure put on me to hire individuals that I did not want to hire. There were newspaper articles. You can Google it. You can see that I actually rejected a number of candidates that were presented to me. These are individuals that, frankly, I just did not feel comfortable moving forward at the time. I moved forward with one person, but it became such a frustration for individuals in the police union. They threatened to a reverse discrimination suit. They threatened to do things that were absolutely absurd to try to force me to accept recommendations that I just didn't want to accept. In spite of all of that, In December, we hired the most diverse, swore in the most diverse group of police officers. Each one of these jobs, they're 20 or 30-year careers. 10 of our police officers last year made over $200,000. One made over $253,000. These are life-changing, generational-changing jobs. And for me, if we made a commitment to be more diverse, and we had town meeting vote on this, and we had many months of debating, we were not going to be pyrrhic about it. We were going to actually do this, and we were going to support this with our best efforts. I've demanded that. I will continue to demand that. I won't equivocate. And yes, I didn't want to have to talk about this tonight. I don't feel it serves anybody. But if you're going to put it out there, I'm going to talk, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to talk. I am not going to just let this go without a response. This town deserves better. Generations of residents of this town deserve better. The future generations, the past generations, we all deserve better. Completely unfair. Thanks, Sean.
That was Swampscott Town Administrator Sean Fitzgerald speaking at this week's Select Board meeting in Swampscott. Again, on those allegations against him and the moves and changes that he has been trying to make in the town of Swampscott as the town's town administrator. This is North Shore Today Extra on MSONewsSports.com.